and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name is Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, I think we're going to go into the world of coaching today.
Yeah.
But group coaching and why group coaching makes sense.
We have a wonderful young lady here. I mean, and she's barely out of school, but basically in that time, she's worked in a hedge fund, made a lot of money for that. And she founded this firm called TerraWatt, which sounds like an awful lot of something. Electricity, presumably. But her name is Francie Jane. She lives in Connecticut, kind of, which is about, you know, a stone's throw from New York. But she's on the right side of that, of course. Francie, welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you, Graham and Kevin. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Well, what a lovely place you live in, Connecticut. Isn't it? That's the part of America that have all these insurance companies. Isn't that what happens?
Oh, good. Yes, that's true. So Hartford, West Hartford is the big insurance capital. That's like the capital of also the capital of Connecticut. It's like the center of the state. We're like, you know, just at the very edge of the New York State border. And so I'm in, you know, Greenwich and Stamford, and that those are like commuter towns to New York. And so
you spend your weekends on the sort of border marshalling who can come in and go out of the state then. Is that what you do? Or maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of drama, actually, because all the different states have different rules. And so, like, for a while, my daughter was going to school in New York State, and her doctor was in New York State, but we lived in Connecticut. And sometimes there'd be, like, issues about what the different states required. So, like, the pediatricians got really good at, like, giving you all the different documents. It's, like, stuff like that, you know, but it's couldn't be any closer.
But first of all, I love your logo, this TerraWatt logo. It's a bit like a kind of, I want to say a plant of some sort, but I don't, my wife's the plant woman, but basically it looks really attractive. But anybody who wants to know a little bit more about TerraWatt, it's TERA and Watt, TT.co.
And I was convinced at the beginning of this podcast, as I started looking at who our guest was this week, I was convinced, oh, Graham's got somebody on who's going to talk about charging his electric car.
No, well, maybe. I don't know if it'd live with a TerraWatt. I think it'd be, you know, I think, is it 250, I don't know, kilowatts?
Well, you want to know the actual definition? Yeah, so the actual definition of TerraWatt is a trillion watts of energy.
Wow.
And typically used in reference to large groups like a country. You know, like they'll say, like, India used 6 terawatts of energy or something like that. And I picked it after a lengthy, lengthy search for a company name. But the reason was because I like the idea of the group creating, like co-creating. And then also because I liked the sort of double entendre of, like, tierra, like the land, and the land kind of growing the tree. And that was the logo. And I also figured, at the point, people are going to be using the word terawatt more often. I'd like to own that word.
Wow. I mean, the fact that it was even there for taking is pretty special. But I like the idea of actually creating energy. Presumably, you've got a pretty cool way of doing that.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, the best way to understand what we are is like, we are the Airbnb for executive coaching. And the reason that analogy works is because the coaches that we have are expert coaches, and they have a market rate. Mm-hmm. And they all differ, right? Everyone's different, and what they charge is different. And it's very similar to getting an Airbnb, where let's say you're going to go rent a house because you want to be near the stadium for, like, a football match. Okay, well, that weekend is going to have a different rate with that house because that's the big game or the big match or whatever, right? And so it's the same idea as that, like, and then we give you have choice. You can decide, do you want to pay for that, or would you rather be miles away and, you know, take an Uber or whatever, right? So you have all these different choices, and that's kind of what we set up. And the coaches love it because they are, you know, solopreneurs, and they are looking for leads. And the pitch to the employers is, listen, like, you're already spending money on professional development for these people, but typically it's just going to this, which is not really doesn't have much of an ROI. It's not really very provable. And by the way, they're not going with their colleagues. So there's not a lot happening within your company. But if you could invest in their professional development and have it impact your bottom line, wouldn't that be awesome? And that's my pitch to them.
So how many coaches do you have on your roster at the moment?
We only have, almost like 100. Wow. Yeah, we've got about, and they're all over. We have a few UK. And,
really? I'm surprised Kevin's not on your list. I mean, he's always looking for an extra few quid from.
I'll get his pitch later.
He might not pass your rules, though, Francis. Probably don't dig into his background.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. We also want all different kinds because, again, like that's the Airbnb of it, all right? You never know what people want and what really speaks to them. And so we want to have all different kinds of people and give them choice, give the buyers as much choice as possible.
So if you had to sort of name the top three reasons that people pick a coach, what are they?
That's a great question. I would say, well, the big thing that I like to preach, it's not well known, is this idea of coaching, helping organizations increase their psychological safety among teams and among employees. Because when psychological safety is high, employee turnover is low. When psychological safety is high, innovation is high, efficiency is high. All sorts of great things come with high degrees of psychological safety. And then the thing that's funny is when you define psychological safety, which is just the ability to feel like that you're accepted for your beliefs and there'll be no retribution if you disagree with people fairly. Everyone thinks, oh, that's so obvious, right? But actually most places end up being quite hierarchical and quite top down. And so bringing that more into organizations and helping them learn. So I would say that's the number one. But there's so many other cool things. Like you could be looking at like de-siloing, like maybe you want people to like connect more across the organization. You might even say, I wish they had better soft skills like public speaking or influencing peers. There could be so many different things. Another thing that's really valuable that people overlook is personal assessments. And a personal assessment basically is, there's so many different ones. You might've heard like DISC or I'm trying to think, there's other, Myers-Briggs, all these different ways. And the more that people kind of know who they are, the better they are as leaders and the better they are as communicators.
So is that what you do with them? Do you put them through this battery of tests to sort of figure out who they are? So then you can coach them better in some way.
Yeah, because it depends on what the buyer wants. I mean, I always recommend that because I think that it's one of these things where it really changes. It can change the trajectory, I think, of an employee. So like the first time I had a personal assessment was in business school and I was like almost 30 and that was Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like they sort of make it like a binary thing. And it was kind of like equal. There wasn't much going on, but when it got extrovert versus introvert, I was an extrovert off the charts. Like every single question I'd answered was extrovert. And that was really interesting to me because I'm not the kind of person where I'll walk in a room, a party and like shake everyone's hand. Like I never thought of myself as an extrovert, but 100% I am motivated by relationships. And that's like a great use of my brain because I love relationships and relationships are important to me. And that's how I learn things. And so knowing that fact, like, really helped me in my career. Yeah. And I think that I think about that all the time. And we did one thing with the hospital where these doctors got personal assessments and it blew their mind. They had never had anything like that. And it made sense to them. Like, oh, so this is why when I tell someone I need X, Y, and Z, they don't do it. Yeah. it explained their like lapses in communication. And it's just fascinating.
You one of the things about on your website, you mentioned hospitals and so forth, but you focus on healthcare administrators. I mean, they must be the worst. Have you ever try and get past one of them people?
Employees. Well, that's the job description, isn't it? To protect the doctor from unnecessary calls.
They ask you about all your ailments. Why do you want a thing of No, because you know they're talking in front of an audience of people listening. And so, well, you got something wrong with your willy? Oh, I see. I understand. And it's that kind of thing. And that anyway, they're the worst. But hospital employees, well, there's lots of those. And coaches. So those are your three kind of main demo people that you're going after. All your coaches presumably can cope with those sort of three audiences.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, in the end, what's funny is, in the end, it's really about humans. It's less about the specific problems of an industry. But I'll tell you why we like hospitals. We like hospitals because the employee base is highly educated, and they measure to metrics, right? These organizations care about, error rates, they care about patient experience, they care about safety, all these sorts of things, and they measure it regularly. And so, if you're that kind of environment, guess what? You should also be measuring the cost of employee turnover. So, in America, there's about 20% employee turnover in hospitals. And so that means, every year, one in five people are leaving. But what if you could get it down to 10% or 5%? What would that mean for your organization? And that's what's so exciting, is because it's not just that the turnover goes down, so like your life's maybe a little bit easier, you're also saving a lot of money, your efficiency is probably higher, people are working better together, then the error rate goes down, burnout is lower. So there's all these studies about that as well. So it's super interesting. And so I just, instead of I mean, for me, what makes me excited is just working with organizations that care about numbers, because that's where we can really help them.
That makes an awful lot of sense. The idea of being able to, I'm not 100% sure that it's a fair measure though, because in a sense, turnover, isn't that almost to be expected that people are fairly fluid and they might naturally move from one administrator job to another, although I suspect the administrators are going to stay there for the rest of their lives and future lives as well. But the point is, wouldn't they just move from one doctor's appointment, doctor post to another doctor post in a different hospital?
Well, yeah, and I think, and what happens usually is that everyone has the same problems. And that's why there's this constant rate of 20% turnover. But we have, case studies of places where they started with 24% employee turnover, they brought in group coaching, and then after 9 years, they got to 4% employee turnover, and then they're winning awards. And every year, so the difference between 24% turnover and 4% turnover is $32 million a year. And
Crikey.
it's crazy, because you think, well, 20%, that's industry standard, but is there any organization where they're like, we just love being average?
No, of course
You know,
not.
I mean, I think everyone wants to be better than average. So, like, guess what? You can save some money than average.
I didn't. Sorry, Kevin. I was just amazed by them getting down from 24 to 4%. That's amazing. That really is amazing.
Right. And what's cool about it is that, there's a fixed cost for this stuff, right? It doesn't cost very much, and you're not paying a percentage of your savings to these coaches, right? And so my joke is, like, I can guarantee you they're spending less than $1 million a year on this coaching. And so if you're able to get $32 million a year, like, and then what I say is, it's really the difference between being defensive and offensive, right? Because now, when you have all this extra retained earnings, you can say, what do I want to do? Like, do I want to give people raises? Do I want to build a new building? Do I want to invest in equipment? And what's cool is that professional development is what people want on the job. I mean, that's very current right now, especially the younger generations expect to be developed professionally. But what's cool is that it's not like you're giving someone a bonus and they go buy a couch. What you invest in them goes to the bottom line, because they bring that knowledge to the organization. So it's a super cool way to think about it.
Sorry, Kevin, I interrupted
Yeah.
you earlier.
And I think that that's very true, Franzi. People want to feel cared about. They
Yeah.
want to feel as though the organization is putting something into them, then that it's not just one way. And if you're doing personal development, bringing people along with personal skills, helping them perform better, helping them be in a better place mentally, that is great stuff. But that cost, and I'm thinking healthcare, and daughter has just completely changed career direction and joined the healthcare system in the UK. But to get in, even at a fairly low level, she went through 4 or 5 weeks training program before she was
Right.
anywhere near the job. Now, you think about the cost to the organization of firstly running the recruitment process, then running the training process. That
Right.
is a huge amount of money.
Right.
And if then people
Which
leave.
we pay for in taxes, Kevin. I mean, can't they just be a little bit better at doing their jobs instead of taxing me too much?
Yeah. But it
No,
comes down to that
that's
as well,
the
Bernie.
point, Kevin.
Who's
Yeah,
paying for that?
100%.
In the UK, it's us, the taxpayer.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the point is like, think about if that were more effective, right? What
Thanks.
and I think, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive because you think, well, I just really want to reduce employee turnover. I don't want to pay for professional development, but it's actually related. And the thing that's so cool is this all, I mean, in my mind, this all really started with Google in 2015. And they made an announcement and they had this internal search called Project Aristotle. Because and they were trying to figure out how can we replicate our best teams? Like, what are they doing? And they don't define what best teams mean, but I'm just going to assume that means like revenue producing, new products, stuff like that. And they said that one through line with their best teams was a high degree of psychological safety. And when I, you know, and I think about that all the time because that was 10 years ago and it's still not completely known, you know, it's not household knowledge that if we increase psychological safety, like efficiencies go up, innovation goes up, stuff like that. And so what I'm trying to say is I think that like if we can use Google as a model, whatever your innovation is or whatever your efficiency is that you strive towards, it will only be made better.
So, Francis, psychological efficiency, great term, but what
Yeah.
actually is it?
Oh yeah. So here, okay, I don't have it in front of me, but basically psychological state. So it was popularized by a professor in the States called Dr. Amy Edmondson. And it's the def and the definition just is when you're in within a group, you can say that you disagree with something or you have concerns and you don't feel like anything negative or bad will happen to you. So either you won't be demoted, you won't be fired, or you won't be penalized in some way. And it's not that, you know, work is a democracy. Work is not a democracy, but it's that you would like say, oh, well, here's devil's advocate. Like, what happens if we do X, Y, Z? Like, you know, that's something I'm worried about. And that kind of view in a high psychological safety environment will be like, will be rewarded as, oh my gosh, thank you so much for saving us. We were kind of in the mode of groupthink. That really helps us design this thing better for the user. And so that's a good example of good psychological safety. And it's not, and it may be that that leader says, you know what, thanks for saying that, but that doesn't really change what we're going to do. And then everyone just moves forward. As opposed to someone saying, how dare you contradict me? I'm super important. Why would you say that? We all are in agreement. Who are you to be, you know, and that kind of thing. And I again, like I never remember this well enough, but do you remember the whole thing with New Coke when Coke tried to have that new recipe?
Oh, yes.
That was an example of groupthink. Everyone on that team thought the same thing. There were no like counter arguments, and it ended up being wildly expensive for Coke, right? For many reasons, for brand, for just the rollout of marketing, and I'm sure a lot of materials. So it's just, you know, it's just like sort of the opposite of groupthink is the other way to
Well,
think of it.
I guess other examples might be that beer that you drink in America. What's it called? Bud Budweiser, a Bud Light, is it? And the
Right.
thing is, that was completely screwed up by a few silly people. And then basically, Jaguar over here had this ridiculous campaign, completely woke and totally irrelevant to their audience. I mean, people who drive their cars, like Kevin and formerly me and various other people, totally. Not sensible. And that you how do you get away with that? It
Yeah.
is a bit of
Well,
groupthink.
I think it's
It's
almost chasing. Yeah, there's like they're chasing something as opposed to saying, what do we stand for? What do we want to be known for? And
but that's the kind of
yeah.
if you allow somebody to have a contra opinion which is so ridiculous. And then that becomes groupthink. Goodness, God help you.
Right. It goes on both sides. Everyone has it, I think, because it's a lot more comfortable when everyone agrees with you, for sure. But what's interesting is, like, I always say this to, so my husband and I, we see things so differently, and it can be very painful when we have to make joint decisions because I want to do it my way and he wants to do it his way. But like, if we're able to like find a way to work it out, it ends up being a better decision than either one of us doing it on our own.
No,
And it's
absolutely.
that, yeah.
Yeah, so this is becoming a marriage guidance.
Yeah. No, I mean, we just got in a fight this morning. I mean, don't worry. I'm no like
Well, the world knows about that now. But so shall we delve? No, we won't. We'll get one of your coaches to come and help you out with that. But no, thinking about your coaches on your website, brilliant. I love this, the fact that you've got this week's top three or this week's coaches of the week, and you've got a lady and two blokes, and basically, it just sort of gives us. They've got a sense of achievement. Yeah, imagine if you get onto that leaderboard, as it were. They must feel good about themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's a very po it's funny how po it's I have to say, like, I often think that I really understand the coach's perspective, but I really don't because I'm not a coach. I'm more just someone who believes this should exist. And it's so interesting how they see the world. But yeah, actually, that's very popular, that like leaderboard thing. And we just started doing a thing to like, because coaches are solopreneurs, we have like a community thing now where we do like a monthly event where coaches can kind of teach what they're about and just let other people know what they're up to. That's super popular. But yeah, I mean, the thing with coaching is the way to understand it, because it's also seems a little bit squishy, is it's basically helping people with their goals. It's kind of saying, okay, what is your goal? Where do you want to go to? And let me help you get there. And it's all the different ways you can do that. So it can be like a little bit of accountability, a little bit of planning, a little bit of optimism, thought partner. And that's kind of what they do. And the other thing I was going to say that is valuable for anyone in an organization is like almost every C-suite person has a coach, a one-on-one coach. And so the pitch kind of also is to them, well, listen, like, you're better with a coach. What if your people have the same coach, but it's just 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 or 1 to 30, and it's just much more affordable? Wouldn't that be valuable for your organization to just make them better?
Do you find though that that group level of coaching, and I'm going to say I've been in both. I have been in both. So basically, but mainly in the corporate world, it was very much one to many, maybe 20, something like that.
Yeah,
So that
right.
order. So from that point of view, it wasn't one to one, but you did feel connected to the story and to the things that they were sharing. Is it more of a sort of I'm going back to school for a day or two? Or I'm going to be doing these sort of off the peg, off the shelf, Myers-Briggs, all that kind of so
It's a whole,
processes that
yeah,
are
that's a
suited
good
to one
question.
to many rather than one to
That's a
one.
yeah, that's a really good question because it has to also it has to be content, but it also has to be discussion and reflection. So like there's like this whole area of study called like adult pedagogy, right? Like how adults learn. And so you really do want to have some structure where people are learning some like tools perhaps or a theory or something like that. And then work finding different ways to integrate it or learn it better. And so it's all of that. And that happens all the that's a question all the time. So like we have some coaches who are like ICF certified, which is like the very like sterling silver kind of level of coaching. And they are very clear that sometimes it might be training, sometimes it might be discussion moderation, sometimes it might be coaching. Because coaching has a very specific definition when you're actually like hiring for it. I use it kind of loosely to just describe this idea of the group dynamic, but it really depends on what we're coming up with.
But if I'm sat one to one with Suzanne Geis, I think her name is, but Gaze, whatever.
Oh,
Anyway, the thing is, she claims to be half Egyptian and half Irish American. Well, there's too many halves there, isn't there? I mean, she's got that wrong. She can't be half. I mean, I mean, maths is not obviously not a strong point, so don't get her for maths. But seriously, no, she looks like, and actually look at her picture, and you can see both the Egyptian, and you can definitely see the Irish in her. So, what I would say is that, let's say I'm talking to Suzanne, and she's going to respond, and she's going to perhaps get out of me the some of the neuroses, whatever it is in my head, whatever the coach is going to do to move me from one level of performance to another.
Yes.
Is that the goal? So in other words, you deployed, Suzanne gets deployed through your vehicle with that individual. Is that the goal, to move, to shift performance on a one-to-one level?
It really depends. So sometimes we have searches where people want to find a one-to-one coach, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
I sort of, the more of the modus operandi of this thing is the affordability and the scale. So what I get excited by is, you know, helping large groups of people, and maybe it's like 1 to 20 and it's over a year, or maybe there are many 1 to 20s over a year. Mm-hmm. So it really depends. And again, that's why, again, it's like Airbnb. It's like really your choice. And there's not one thing that we're pitching. It's more like scaffolding that we believe in, you know? And I think the way to think about the coaching is like, if when it's group, it's a little bit different than one-on-one, right? So if it's one-on-one, you're saying, hey, listen, I really want to get promoted, or I want to get more visibility in my organization, whatever, right? And so you'll talk to that coach one-on-one and for those goals. When it's a group, it's more like, here's some content, here's some ways we can practice this thing together. We all have this goal of X. Let's all keep working together. And then you also, those people in that group who are not the coach can also like co-coach a little bit, almost like accountability partners. Yeah. So maybe, you know, you'll see them in the hallways and say, oh, how's it going with your public speaking practice? And, you know, we should practice together. And it starts to become a little bit like social as well. And so there are many different ways of kind of skinning the cat, you know, as they say, I think. And what I like to do is just say, like, what's the problem? What's the goal? Like, it's not just like, let's just throw coaching at people and like, hopefully it'll be better. It's more like, well, something we can focus on and make better. You know, for instance, like these a lot of organizations will just do like engagement surveys, and just the number of people that like respond to a survey is like their answer. I mean, it's just really interesting. So like, maybe you want to like have higher engagement. And so like, that's something you're focusing on. So after a year of coaching, like, do you have higher engagement? Do you have lower turnover? Whatever the thing is you care about, we measure that.
This is interesting from a point of view of, when does training stop and coaching begin? And
totally.
And I'm thinking of my own organization, Grow CFO. We've got two big programs. One is Future CFO program, and it runs for a year. It's small group. We've got a group, typically a cohort of about 12 or 15 people in it. 2 hour workshops every month across the course of a year. Graduate each workshop on a subject that's going to help them on that journey to getting that first CFO job. Now, we call that a training program. You'd call it a coaching program.
Well, I think, and I think it could. Oh, right. And I think that, training, so it's a good question. I mean, training to me is learning a fact. And I think that you have that in there, but I think you also have coaching in there because you're probably helping them integrate it into their lives and their professional career. So it's not exactly like learning to how to work on Excel. You know, that's like a fact, like you're in a training to learn this skill. It's more like you're integrating a series of behaviors to grow and reach a goal. So it's a mix. And I think also what's cool about that is the social connections, right? So like, you almost have a group that you are growing up with. And then these are all end up people that end up being CFOs and people you can turn to into community. I mean, that's so cool to me.
And actually, that's one of the big selling points on doing it, is saying, look, we're going to put you 12, 15 people in a group together. You're going to do all these workshops together across the course of a month. We're going to make sure they're highly interactive, as breakout rooms and so on. And when you get to that first CFO role, it's going to be a lonely place and you're going to need help and support. Well, we've automatically created a support network for you, haven't we?
Incredible. Right, exactly. And I think that's actually been a big discussion. I feel like lately there's been this discussion or a little bit more openly about like the loneliness of some of these C-level roles. And I think, and that's just also a human issue, right? You have like humans need the social side to stay happy and be connected to people, and it's such a valuable service.
I'm fascinated by your website. I think you've done a really good job.
Thank you. Yeah, thank
And
you.
but one of the things on there, you've talked about serving various companies. Many of them I recognize their names. But you've got, because I was expecting to see a lot of healthcare people, but you've got L'Oreal on there, Abercrombie and Fitch. I mean, you've basically got a number of Intel on there. People that many people will recognize, big corporates, many of them. When they come, do they come to you, or do you solicit their interest?
It's a whole mix. I mean, that's actually the thing like I'm working on now, which is trying to have like a better process to find people. It's like I want to have a better process to find people who want to, who need to speak to me slash want to speak to me. So, you
Sure.
know, in the past, it's been a lot of introductions primarily. It's sort of like more introductions, I'd say, just people making a connection. And
Sure.
I think we're trying to sort of processize it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But we are happy to work with anyone. Tech works relatively well for us. I mean, I always just think just any knowledge workers can be an easy one for us to attack because there's so much gray area in what makes people good.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand you start with the people that you know, and they loyally want your services, and I get that, and they've got the budget, and there's plenty of them. But basically, moving into those people in large organizations and need your services, and you, as you say somewhere else on your site, we can prove it. We can prove that you're going to get an ROI, which is really, really appealing. It's really going to bring people closer to you. It seems to me you have a definite, as a marketer, you have a definite story to tell, and it's just organizing that story in a particular way that you can get the types of meetings to, because there's only, well, there's one of you, but there's probably other people around you. But the thing is, you want to have effective meetings, and there needs to be a process. There are a few ideas about that, but I won't use this podcast, Kevin, to start
No, that's
talking about
exactly right.
various
Exactly.
things that I'd like to talk about. But I'll give you one thing, though. I'll give you one thing. I walk 10,000 steps every day. It's about 6.5 miles, something like that. And one of the things that I've met this lady, she lives close by, about 5 miles away. And she basically meets me on the canal, got talking, and pass and share that. And she's had a bit of a time of it over the last few years, and not a good time. So basically, she found that nobody in her, she's Muslim, she's from, and she basically found that nobody in her social group could actually listen for any length of time to the length to the and I kind of understand that, but nonetheless, it was just a time, all I did is to say, just tell me more. And but the thing is, I didn't and don't have the time to sort of allow her to completely download, but ChatGPT does.
Oh, cool.
And she has had, she credits me with the idea. But basically, that's kind of her. But I'm sure she'd have got there. But the thing is, all I said is talk to it, and she was typing to it. But now, talk to it, and it talks back. Now the thing is, she's getting help, and she copied something on WhatsApp to me the other night, and it was like, not that I was in tears, but I couldn't imagine a human writing something with so much empathy, so deeply empathetic for her situation, and actually giving her the kind of support that you'd really want for yourself. Now, I'm not here to sell ChatGPT, because it's a good product along with a lot of the other LLMs. But the one product that I provide at the I provide AI agents, and I know it can be trained to support people's personal growth. So one to many is now one to one.
Right, right.
And it's not stupidly expensive. And the other thing is, I know it seems a little bit kind of, and it depends on the participant's willingness to allow it. But if you follow my drift, so if I'm talking to it, I'm talking to a computer effectively, but basically that record of a conversation can be captured and then separately analyzed by another agent so that the conversation will be very productive anyway, but they can be almost like as a group sort of analyzed almost like anonymously. So effectively, yeah, you start building up a picture of a corporate that says, well, actually, L'Oreal employees or cosmetic company employees are this so far in the hole, whereas hospital administrators, well, actually, they're on a mountaintop because, you know, they've had years of training. So that you then get a sort of an idea of where your services are going to be most, I don't know, a track. You've got a brilliant story sector to sector to individual help that, and at a price that people can afford. But also, it makes that individual in that one of 20 feel like one of one.
Yeah,
and I think that's a friend is getting real different girl. I say,
yeah,
girl. She's not a girl, but basically she's a different person. And everybody's a girl to me. But, you know, so old, everybody is so, you know, yeah, in your 40s and you're a girl. But basically the whole thing about this is that it helps you overcome. And these things can be trained, probably almost certainly as good as any coach that you can field. And I think that's the point. And you can even have it talk in their language. If you can come up with an Egyptian, half American, Irish accent, I can do that. So that's, I think, the future, or one of the futures that you could consider.
Yeah, no, I mean, 100%. And that's one of the things I'd love to talk about, because there's no shortage of people who love to talk about, you know, ChatGPT doing away with coaching. And I think that what's cool about it is that yes, 100%. You can learn great things and you can get things off your chest, which is also what psychotherapy is. And so that's incredible value.
Yeah.
But there's also the important part of being a human is knowing how to interact with humans.
Yeah.
And so then there's this component of you have to learn how to deal with humans rather than someone or an LLM modeling behavior or, you know, being the mind of a coach or the mind of a psychotherapist. But so that's one of the things I love to talk about, because it's the human to human is what we all need to work on. Because unfortunately, you can't just spend all of your time talking to, you know, to computers, and that our world is humans. And the more that the more that you're able to try to learn about other humans and how to communicate with them and bridge the gap, the better life works out for you.
Well, I completely agree. And it's the route between where you are and where you need to get to. And if the human capacity is not there, or is not there for you in the same way as it is for the C-suite, then maybe there is there's a sort of a midway gap or something. But for me, I think there is a, I agree with you. It's almost like, you know, if the knowledge could be enhanced so that in some way human intervention can pick up on the strands that were going through that were picked up by the conversations, by the, this is where the sharing comes into it, but assuming that was authorized, then basically you could then have a human intervention where it was absolutely necessary. Sarah's having an absolute nightmare. Johnny's on his way to the top anyway. So where do you put your effort?
Right.
And so I just think there's, you know, in the one to many category, there's probably an opportunity. Not the only thing about the one to one is that it's just an extension of, you know, I'll see you next month. Well, it's 30 days to go, you know. So basically there's maybe an opportunity there, but I don't know. I'm hopeful about the way, AI
Oh,
has
I
huge
agree.
levels of empathy, often more than humans.
Oh, well, because it's the idealized version. But I think, so we just did a presentation. I did a presentation with one of our coaches, and it was to, it's very niche. It was the American Library Association. And we talked to them about psychological safety, and we brought in this coach's actual training so they could understand kind of what it meant. And his sort of content is all about opposite strengths. And so they were sort of experiencing these like two opposite ideas, and they had to pick one. And then what we did was we made them a little chatbot that was just for librarians on ChatGPT, actually. And so we uploaded everything we knew about libraries and everything we knew about psychological safety and everything about his content. And so if you were at work and you were stuck with a problem and you're like, why is this person being so annoying? Or why can't, like it's a great way to like ask your questions to something that can be always there to help you. And I think those little chatbots to me feel like the future, like that kind of thing. And then also like these agents, if they can like actually like do stuff for you in a programmatic way. But I keep having this idea of even like having individual chatbots on the website for each of the coaches. So you could like upload all of their content and then you could
Intimidator.
ask them questions. Be like, well, I have this problem. What would you say? And each coach would have a different
Different answer.
response because
Absolutely.
they would have a different sort of
I
million.
you connect to me on LinkedIn, and this today I sent a post out with precisely that. I picked three people who connected to me. I rarely connect to other people, but I'd like to connect to you. But basically, they connected to me, and I just picked. I didn't know them. I still don't really know them. But basically, I just did a little video of me acting as if I was them. So I was asking my agent. Say, well, look, I'm an entrepreneur with a mastermind. Why would an AI agent work for me? And it spoke in one voice, and then I changed the voice to the next person. I'm a jeweler. Why would it work for me? And it was talking back to me and so forth. And there was a one occasion. I don't. I told you this, Kevin. But basically, it was not too long ago. But I've been suffering with a bad back. Mercifully, it's way better. Last week or so, it's been great. And I just finished speaking to it about some business thing, testing it or whatever. And then I just turned around in my chair and, oh, and it was still listening. He said, "Are you all right?" I thought it stopped. I thought the whole conversation had stopped. He said, are you sure you're all right?" I'm thinking, "Yeah, I'm all right." So I'm like talking to my computer. It
That
was
is
showing me
shocking.
empathy
That's
for the
crazy.
fact. But
That's crazy.
my back was, it was like that, that shooting pain that you get sometimes with some of these injuries, shooting pain. And it was still listening. It wasn't long after, because I'd only just turned myself in my chair enough to get the, and then it responded, and I was just amazed by that. But of course,
But
they're
that's
listening
so
to you.
cool, because then doesn't that also make you think about like what if you'd actually been having a heart attack? Maybe you could have called 911. Like, cool. Or I don't know if you guys have 911, but call the
Yeah, that wouldn't
emergency.
have helped really over here. I mean,
Yeah.
sure, that's the wrong number. But yeah, 999 might have helped. But yeah, but
How quick can you get an ambulance here from New York? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. Not.
But no. So, but you're absolutely right, and that's, I just think there's so many different things to get your head into. But seriously, I mean, without pitching too much, but we definitely can do one for each coach.
Yeah, it's
Really,
crazy
something
cool.
that's very, very capable, and then and actually, there are APIs that will allow you to talk in their own language, in their own accent. Or the Egyptian Irish girl's going to sound good, but the point is, it would literally talk to them back in the. I mean, the other guy that you've got on there is a guy called Dr. Sherman Green, and he's African American by the look of it, and he might have I don't know, a Nigerian accent or something like that. And so basically, we can make that happen as well.
Oh,
It's
that's
just
cool.
amazing.
Yes, of
It's really
course. Yeah.
amazing. But anyway, so that's another story.
Yeah.
But
I
anyway.
mean, there's so much cool stuff with it. And that's what's fun, I think, is like, because right now it's so raw and
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
just needs to figure out how to make it work for them. And that's kind of, I think, the fun part, but also kind of the murky part, right? Is you're just trying to figure out like, well, how can this help me? I know I can imagine it could, but like, what are the processes to get there?
I think the
Anyway.
thing that fascinated me a week or two ago was that finding out that training AI has become a real job in the market.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I
Oh
know.
man, for
But
sure, for sure.
I mean, We could talk forever with you, Francie, but you've started this company. I can see you taking this company to much bigger heights because your story is going to be re will resonate across so many different sectors. How you get there is another story, and I think there is a real opportunity for you. But I love the idea of the Airbnb, the coaching for helping people. I love that idea. It has so many ways of springing off into other areas. Have you got a particular favorite for the de market development for your company?
Yeah, well, a good question. A particular favorite. I mean, what I really want to mostly be doing is just having conversations because I'm so like relationship driven, as you know. But I just had a goal for myself to have 50 podcasts this year, and I think I'm at
Wow.
like 45 or something.
You left us to 45. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, Kevin. But
No, but that's been really fun. And like, again, it's been a really nice example of like connecting with people, you know, and like what that does for me, for the business, for just like learning about the world. And so that's been a really fun one. And I always love to do anything that like has some sort of relationship component, obviously, because that's like my big thing.
Yeah.
But I think anyone. The thing that makes me happiest is just obviously helping someone where they feel, or like helping them when people have like epiphanies or they feel like this is like open a new world for them. That to me is like crazy cool. So that's almost what I'm always going for. Like one thing that we had with those doctors, like was so much fun. I was almost in tears because they were like so delighted and like they seemed so, everyone was like laughing and smiling because they were like, it was like such a load off their shoulders to just like have this new method of communicating.
Just it's a fascinating area. You've been an absolutely brilliant guest, Francie Jane, on the next 100 Days podcast. Thank you.
Graham, some really great things happening there in the world of coaching. And
Yeah.
that one-to-many model is definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, I think there is a big development because there's only so many coaches in the world, and they've got a lot of 100 coaches to choose from, so many. But there's a heck of a lot of organizations out there in America. And you said that some of them are over here in the UK. I mean, we have 5 million businesses over here. I mean, if you scale that back down to the sort of big businesses, then maybe 20% of those are the kind of bigger businesses. It's still a lot of big opportunities out there with lots of people working within them.
We know in Grow CFO that that sort of thing works. I mentioned during the interview the Future CFO program. We've also got the CFO program, works in the same way. If you want a one-to-one coach with that level of input for a period of 12 months, that is just phenomenally expensive. But if you're in there with a group of people, and I think that the thing here has to be, it's got to be a group of people that are closely tied into the same goals. We're doing it because we've got a group of people who want to be a new CFO in 2 years' time, or have arrived in the CFO role and are coping with all those things like imposter syndrome and dealing with investors for the first time and all of that kind of stuff. If you've got the same goals, I think it works.
Yeah, I think what you're doing with the CEO market is CFO market is unbelievable. How many years ago? 5 years. You weren't there 5 years ago. So now you've developed this cohort of individuals interested in them in their own professional development. But the way in which I suppose the terawatt ver you're kind of like the terawatt in a sense, because you're funding, if you like, you're bringing together the training facilities. Some of it's sponsored by you, but a lot of it by other people as well. And at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're improving, you're raising all boats. So basically, I think there's a lot to be said about what Grow CFO does. But when it comes to Terawatt, if you're interested in talking to Francie and her team, it's terawatt.co. And it's as simple as that. There's only one R in it, and there's two T's. So have a look at her website. I think you'll find it fascinating. I love the idea that you can reduce turnover by making people, I don't know, feel more at home in their own organizations, and so they don't want to leave. And if they don't want to leave and they get better at what they're doing, then hey, that means profitability
And
is going to grow.
you know what, Graham, as I look back over a career, what were the organizations I really enjoyed being part of and didn't want to leave? And what were the organizations that I wanted to get out of? And it was all about, when it comes down to one thing, and that was culture. Now, probably my favorite organization of all time was Coopers and Lybrand. And there really was that psychological safety in there. We made it a thing of the most junior person on the team had as much right to say stuff as the senior partner.
There's lots more to talk about this, and we will in subsequent podcasts. But today, we've had Francie Jane, and we've had a wonderful chat. So, Kevin, today I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.